Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing, where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago, where have all the flowers gone? The girls have picked them, everyone. Oh, when will you ever learn? Oh, when will you ever learn? Where have all the young girls gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young girls gone? Long time ago.
Where have all the flowers gone? A song associated with the man we're going to honor on today's News Dissector Radio Hour, Pete Seeger, who died last week at age 94, a long life of service, not only to music, but to humanity, as a person who stood up for the principles he believed in, who is an activist, who was at one point a communist, who was certainly somebody who became an environmentalist and a leader in the environmental movement. So Pete Seeger, who lived here upstate New York in Beacon, New York, was someone who sent out a beacon to people around the world. So Pilar Levine, who I'm with in the Polarity One studios today where we're recording this show, and I are going to try to play some of Pete's music and talk a little bit about his incredible life. Both of us were touched by Pete. Pilar musically, me politically. I interviewed him many different times, and I have, you know, posted up in my bathroom, you know, a postcard signed, "Thanks, Pete." I don't remember what it was for, but under the Pete is a, you know, a banjo that he drew as with his signature and some Japanese words, probably, you know, something he learned from his wife who died before him. So today on News Dissector Radio, a tribute to Pete Seeger.
You know, the song that we opened with, "Where Have All the Flowers Gone," Pete Seeger wrote that song. He wasn't a real prolific songwriter, choosing to sing songs that he picked up, I guess, since he was a kid, from all over the country and all over the world. And that song was, believe it or not, I think a top 10 hit for the Kingston Trio, and that pretty much set off the whole folk music boom in the 50s and 60s.
He was, you know, a Harvard student, too. He's a brilliant, yeah, a brilliant person who integrated his music, the cultures he was interested in, and his political ideas, and became an inspirational figure at a time when it was people like Woody Guthrie and you know, and then the Weavers, the group that he became part of, became a major force in American music and a major force in resisting the encroachments of McCarthyism and a period in American life where, you know, there was an attempt to discredit Pete Seeger as a communist and worse.
Yeah, I think a thing that's important to put in perspective is if you take all the topical songs that come after him or after he hit on the scene, you know, like starting with Dylan and Phil Oakes, right on up to now, no matter what issue you sang about, you weren't under any threat, you know. It was easy. Whereas Seeger, in his time, you know, you risked serious jail time. When he was dragged in front of Congress, he actually was a top 10 pop artist. Because the Weavers, they weren't singing political songs at the time. They had, I think it was the number one song in the country, Lead Belly's "Goodnight Irene." He actually was convicted of contempt of Congress and sentenced to a year. I mean, that was later overturned, but unlike a lot of people, just to save their asses, he refused to testify. He could have. He could have said, "Yes, I was part of the Communist Party, but not anymore. You know, I'm America number one." He didn't do that. He said, "I'm not going to tell you anything about my religion, anything about my philosophy, because it's none of your business, and there's something in there in the Constitution that addresses that."
He did offer to play some music for the members of the Congress, and I don't think they wanted to be appear to be such boobs, which that would have led to. So, you know, Pete Seeger started out in a very controversial mode in American life as being somebody who stood up against, you know, the dominant ideas of the time, stood for peace, stood for social justice, and became, you know, a voice and a leader in those movements, a force in our culture, so that when the obituaries were written just this past week in all the major newspapers, they saluted him, you know, as somebody who had unique insights into the soul of America. They didn't marginalize him. They didn't demonize him. They didn't attempt to revive the whole debate about was he this or was he that. They embraced him, and as did Bruce Springsteen, who did a whole bunch of what were called the Seeger Sessions and releasing that as music. Bruce became a great admirer of Pete Seeger's and was probably influenced by him, and the two of them sang at the Barack Obama inauguration in 2009 in Washington. He sang, you know, what had been a edited version until then of the song "This Land Is Your Land," and at this past week's State of the Union message, Obama did not have the courage or the humanity to honor Pete Seeger, who had been one of his supporters in 2009 and had died the day before. And I'm sure that the news about Seeger got more interest and more attention than the president's speech.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's definitely more relevant. I could just picture in the Oval Office, you know, Obama and his aides discussing whether or not he should mention Seeger. Well, you know, he was a card-carrying communist. He was part of the Communist Party. And, you know, everybody thinks you're a socialist out there. Maybe we shouldn't make that connection. And, you know, and he said, well, yeah, I guess you're right. Right, don't want to offend.
Right. Well, he didn't offend, but
he offended me. He offended you.
The State of the Union message this year had the lowest audience turnout since the year 2000. So, you know, he didn't set any new records in reaching the audience he was trying to reach. Let's hear some more from Pete Seeger.
Oh, the candidate's a Dodger, yes, a well-known Dodger. Oh, the candidate's a Dodger, yes, and I'm a Dodger too. He'll meet you and treat you and ask you for your vote, but look out, boys, he's a-dodging for your vote. Oh, we're all dodging, 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 dodging. Oh, we're all dodging out the way through the world. Oh, the lawyer, he's a dodger, yes, a well-known dodger. Oh, the lawyer, he's a dodger, yes, and I'm a dodger too. He'll plead your case and claim you for a friend, but look out, boys, he's easy for to bend. Oh, we're all dodging, 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 dodging. Oh, we're all dodging out the way through the world. Oh, the preacher, he's a dodger, yes, a well-known dodger. Oh, the preacher, he's a dodger, yes, and I'm a dodger too. He'll preach you the gospel and tell you of your crimes, but look out, boys, he's dodging for your dimes. Oh, we're all dodging, 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 dodging. Oh, we're all dodging out the way through the world. Oh, the merchant, he's a dodger, yes, a well-known dodger. Oh, the merchant, he's a dodger, yes, and I'm a dodger too. He'll sell you goods at double the price, but when you go to pay him, you'll have to pay him twice. Oh, we're all dodging, 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 dodging. Oh, we're all dodging out the way through the world. Oh, the farmer, he's a dodger, yes, a well-known dodger. Oh, the farmer, he's a dodger, yes, and I'm a dodger too. He'll plow his cotton, he'll plow his corn, but he won't make a living as sure as you're born. Oh, we're all dodging, 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 dodging.
I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd hammer out danger, I'd hammer out a warning, I'd hammer out love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. If I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning, I'd ring it in the evening, all over this land. I'd ring out danger, I'd ring out a warning, I'd ring out love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land.
Yeah, we heard the Almanac Singers from 1941. Seeger was about 22 at the time, I believe. And this band included Woody Guthrie, Lee Hayes, who was also to join the Weavers with Seeger 10 years later, and Millard Lampo. Actually, boomers out there may be interested to know. Lee Hayes is the guy who recorded the Davy Crockett song, which was a kids show that was on TV in the 50s. But this song, the Dodgers song, goes back to a protest by Western farmers after the Civil War. And it was used again as a campaign song for Grover Cleveland, who was supported by the progressives in the 1880 election. And that was followed by, well, you know what that was followed by, If I Had a Hammer, made famous by Peter, Paul, and Mary. And some of you may not know that Pete Seeger was the guy who wrote it.
Pilar, you know, Pete Seeger influenced the both of us, okay? You as a musician and as an artist who actually was inspired to create some music in the Pete Seeger mode, and we're going to hear some of that music a little later in the show. For me, you know, I remember really clearly going to a concert on Christmas Eve, 1955, in the Museum of Modern Art. And I remember it because the subway trains were rumbling under the show, and Pete Seeger, you know, was singing at this, what month was our Jesus born in? He was singing Christmas songs, but he also sang and introduced me to two South African songs, Senzeni Na, which was a song that meant, what have we done, sung by the women in protesting against apartheid in Pretoria, South Africa, massive march by women. Pete learned that song and taught it to the audience, and he sang Whim Away, which became The Lion Sleeps Tonight, became commercially successful that way. And then Pete was told, you know, look, this song is not just a folk song. It was actually written by an artist who never got any of the royalties. And Pete tried to remedy that and reached out to the man's family and gave royalties and money to the creator of the song that he was so associated with. So he was a person of incredible conscience. And I remember that concert way back when. I don't know, how old was I then? I think maybe 12, you know, and hearing Pete Seeger was like a moment of incredible enlightenment. And I became part of that whole folky underground. We had what were called Hoot Nannies, music that Pete sang at, but that many other folk singers sang at. And you know, there were Hoot Nannies in Washington Square Park here in New York, and there was a store for folk singers. It was a cultural force in our lives. Now, I went on also to like and embrace rock and roll, so I wasn't just in that mode, but I tried to learn guitar. I wasn't very good at it, but I had a folk song teacher, Jerry Silverman, who was well-known in the folk music movement, and I actually had a favela guitar.
I had one too.
Trying to, you know, learn the songs. I couldn't sing really. I couldn't do it. But I was so admired the energy and the eloquence and the educational impact that Pete Seeger had on me. And you?
Oh yeah, definitely. And not just music, but politically as well. I mean, the first songs I ever wrote when I was 14 were political songs about civil rights and the war and this and that. And yeah, I mean that whole activist music thing that he spawned there in the 50s, the late 50s and 60s, that launched that whole movement had an incredible effect on me. You know, getting back to the song Whim Away, which is the same one that the Tokens recorded in the early 60s, Seeger didn't pick up the correct pronunciation of that word that means lion, which is something I found out recently. And I'm figuring, yo, Pete, man, how could you not get that right? So I checked it out myself and listened to the original by Solomon Linda with the Evening Birds. And sounds like Whim Away to me. So if someone would call in with the correct pronunciation, we would be edified over here. Oh, a few people out there are saying right now, damn, I wonder what the original sounded like. Well, here it is, a little bit of it. You know, Pete Seeger, he got turned on to the song We Shall Overcome in the 40s, okay? And he went to the Highlander Center, which was a teaching center in the civil rights movement, in the 50s. Dr. Martin Luther King went there as well, and a singer named Guy Carawan, who was singing We Shall Overcome. And Pete Seeger actually popularized that song and popularized it with the SNCC Freedom Singers. They sang together at Carnegie Hall. That song became the anthem of the civil rights movement. Pete Seeger played a key role in bringing that song to world attention.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday.
We Shall Overcome actually was a combination of old spirituals that Seeger put together. And I think it was first used at a union rally, not for the civil rights movement, which really kicked in 20 years later and then became the anthem.
If you want higher wages, let me tell you what to do. You got to work with the people in the shop with you. There was the Talking Union Blues. He made a whole album about labor songs and labor music, songs that were popular in the 1930s and popular, antecedents to the political music of the 60s. And that was the music that I was raised on. I came out of a labor family. And so the folk songs of the labor movement,
Talking Union song,
and were really a part of my life in a way and part of our family's life. And Pete Seeger was the one, again, who was the driving force in teaching these songs. So he didn't just sing. He actually involved the audience. He taught the songs to the audience and people sang along with him.
Yeah, and another interesting thing too is that, you know, the Talkin' Union song and also the Talkin' Blues that Woody Guthrie did were spoken word over music. So, you know, that
before rap.
Oh, yeah.
but it was part of an oral tradition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is important. Let's listen to one of those songs.
Now, if you want higher wages, let me tell you what to do. You got to talk to the workers in the shop with you. You got to build you a union, got to make it strong. But if you all stick together, boys, won't be long. You get shorter hours, better working conditions, vacations with pay, take a kid to the seashore. It ain't quite this simple, so I better explain just why you got to ride on the union train. Cause if you wait for the boss to raise your pay, we'll all be a-waiting till Judgment Day. We'll all be buried, gone to heaven. St. Peter'll be the straw boss then. Now you know you're underpaid, but the boss says you ain't. He speeds up the work till you're about to faint. You may be down and out, but you ain't beaten. You can pass out a leaflet and call a meeting, talk it over. Speak your mind. Decide to do something about it. Of course, the boss may persuade some poor damn fool to go to your meeting and act like a stool, but you can always tell a stool, though, that's a fact. He's got a yaller streak running down his back. He doesn't have to stool. He'll always get along on what he takes out of blind men's cups. You got a union now and you're sitting pretty. Put some of the boys on the steering committee. The boss won't listen when one guy squawks, but he's got to listen when the union talks. He'd better be mighty lonely. Everybody decide to walk out on him. Suppose they're working you so hard it's just outrageous, and they're paying you all starvation wages. You go to the boss and the boss would yell, before I raise your pay, I'd see you all in hell. Well, he's puffing a big cigar, feeling mighty slick, cause he thinks he's got your union licked. Well, he looks out the window and what does he see but a thousand pickets, and they all agree he's a bastard. Unfair! Slave driver.
Yeah, that was Earl Workshirt, otherwise known as Pete Seeger, from a 1941 recording, also with the Almanac Singers, Talkin' Union. You know, one of the things about Seeger that he may have gotten a bad rap for, although part of it was deserved, was his tantrum, his alleged tantrum at the 1965 Newport Folk Festival. And this was the first time.
Ooh, Pete's tantrum or Bob Dylan's tantrum?
Pete Seeger's tantrum.
I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Dylan at this time changed his musical format to a more rock-based style. And it was absolutely cataclysmic for the folk scene at that time. There was a purity, almost a theological purity, about the music from Appalachia and the Delta blues, which was what the whole movement was based on, and then the political aspect of it. And there was something about picking up electric instruments that was just intolerable. And unfortunately, Seeger was among one of those who were shocked and outraged by it. Also at the 65 festival, the Paul Butterfield Blues Band made their debut. And that astounding band, Paul Butterfield on vocals and blues harp, the unbelievable Mike Bloomfield on guitar, he was about 18 at the time, it was an integral band, and they were loud and noisy as hell. And when Dylan came on with his band that also had Bloomfield in it and Al Cooper, who went on to start Blood, Sweat, and Tears not long afterward, he played that little organ fill in Like a Rolling Stone. And Seeger, anyway, just he found it unbearable. The band was so loud, and the festival never had noise like this before, and the sound system was just totally incapable of mixing it properly, that the vocals couldn't be heard. And of course, Dylan was about his lyrics. And Seeger was having a fit back there, and it's a legend, and no one knows for sure whether he actually did it or not, you know, screamed, I'm gonna take a hatchet to the goddamn cables and put an end to this noise.
He was a traditionalist, but at the same time, you know, he also influenced all of these artists, as did Woody Guthrie, as did, you know, Bob Dylan, credited, you know, Woody Guthrie and the whole folk music period.
Dylan was Seeger's protege.
As did, you know, later on, Bruce Springsteen, who acknowledged, you know, the importance of Seeger's role in all of this and the whole folk music tradition in America. Obviously, there were several forces here. There were people who wanted to depoliticize the music. There were people who just wanted to make money off the music and monetize it, so to speak. There was the emergence of the big corporate record companies who were trying to control all the music. And Pete Seeger recorded for Columbia, recorded albums for big labels, but he also was, you know, on the Folkways album label, right. Mo Ash, here in New York. And I remember once, you know, I met this woman who worked there, and she took me into the warehouse, a big storage area of Folkways records. And she said, you know, we don't know what we're going to do. We may have to move from here. Take what you want. And I looked, I was paralyzed because there was all this incredible music and I didn't feel right taking it, but there it was. And not only, all of these albums had little pamphlets in them with the lyrics of all of these songs. And they were, you know, they're the music of the Black Watch of Scotland, the Piper bands, you know, and music from, you know, all these different cultures were there. And this was part of this world, this United Nations culturally that Pete Seeger helped foster.
Oh, yeah. And he had his group, the Almanac Singers. That was in the 40s. Woody Guthrie was part of that.
I think that this is a living tradition, and it's not just, Pete and Woody and but, you know, it's evolved to a lot of younger artists and musicians who are inspired by that. I mean, there's a whole collection of songs I've given you from activists who are at the Indian Point nuclear plant in Westchester where, you know, where Pete lived. Pete lived, actually, I think, in Putnam County, who have written these and sung these songs to close this nuclear plant. Pete, of course, inspired the Clearwater, boat, which has been, you know, going up and down the Hudson, trying to clean up the water that we drink and the water that we swim in.
Let's end this segment of the show with one of my all-time favorite Pete Seeger songs, not one of the most well-known. It's called Bells of Rimney, and I'll be damned if I know what Rimney is, but I dig them bells.
Oh, what will you give me, say the sad bells of Rimney? Is there hope for the future, say the brown bells of Methel? Who made the mine owner, say the black bells of Rhondda? And who robbed the miner, say the grim bells of Blenheim? They will plunder willy-nilly, say the bells of Caerphilly. They have fangs, they have teeth, shout the loud bells of Neath. Even God is uneasy, say the moist bells of Swansea. And what will you give me, say the sad bells of Rimney? Throw the vandals in court, say the bells of Newport. All would be well if say the green bells of Cardiff. Why so worried, sisters, why sang the silver bells of Wye? Oh, what will you give me, say the sound.